Hey folks, Jared Sylvester here. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast from Repurposed.
The joke's the joke. I don't understand why it would be harder to be clean. That's really the truth of comedy is if you're being true to who you are on stage, then it should be relatively painless.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sylvester of Taichus Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and want to inspire true wealth. If you want more information on Taichus Financial, just go to our website, taichusfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with a guy by the name of Leland Clausen. Leland is a stand-up comedian. I actually ran across one of Leland's comedy videos on Facebook a while back, and I thought he was really, really funny. I've watched stand-up comedy since I was a kid, and I've really learned to appreciate a person that can get up on stage, tell jokes and stories, and really make people laugh. Leland is from Canada. And with nearly two decades of comedy under his belt, he is recognized as one of Canada's premier clean comedians. And in this podcast, we talk about comedy and Leland's journey through and into this world of entertainment as a clean comedian. And we also talk about where and how he finds his purpose as a stand-up comedian. Here's my chat with Leland Clausen. So I ran across one of your videos on Facebook, and I love stand-up comedy. I showed my wife, I'm like, look at this guy. This guy's hilarious. But I got to be honest, the first thing that attracted me to you is that you're kind of an awkwardly tall guy, kind of like myself. How tall are you?
I'm just 6'3", but I look a lot taller further away.
You look like you're like 6'11". Like, are people shocked when you're only 6'3"?
Yes, they actually are. I always tell them I look like I'm further away. Is what I look like. I'm a tall guy who's further away is what skinny. I'm really skinny. So.
And you have these massive hands. Like, what's up with the size of your hands? They're like disproportionate to your body. You have hands twice the size of me.
The hands are 6'11", I believe. Yeah, no, they're big. I got my whole body's a mess, but that's another podcast.
But you kind of, you know, like as a stand-up comedian, like part of being a stand-up comedian is that you have to make fun of people. Like, how much of your comedy is actually you making fun of yourself, essentially?
Oh, most of it. Yeah, I make fun of myself, but then I also tell stories of stuff I did or experienced. And, a lot of it just kind of reflects on poor decisions and just me in general. So, yeah, most of it is probably making fun of me.
Right. I saw you were actually touching both ears with one hand at one point on a video. That's amazing, actually.
Yeah, and people cheat, you know. People will go underneath their chin and say, I can do it too. And it's like, that's cheating. You got to go right over your face.
Well, I mean, I got to ask like the dumb question, the one that you've probably gotten 1,000 times. Like, how does one stumble into comedy? I'm not suggesting that you stumbled into this, but like, how does a person go down this path?
Well, first of all, yeah, I don't think anyone can ever stumble into comedy. You gotta really, really want to do it.
Yeah.
You gotta put in time and get on stage. And yeah, I've been doing this for 22 years and I'm still learning stuff every time I get on stage.
So when did it start? Did it start after college or when you were a young adult in high school? What did you see in yourself that kind of pushed you down this path?
I think I was always curious about it. I shouldn't say I was always curious about it. I don't remember when I got curious about it, but I know I was curious about it. And then after I got married, I had all this material. So I was like, oh, I got to do something with this now. So I guess I make fun of my wife. I make fun of my wife, too, not just me.
What does she think about this stuff? Is there stuff that you just, you know, have you like told a set of jokes for maybe the first time she catches wind of it and then you've got some explaining to do, or do you throw it past her first to kind of get it approved?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a respect thing. Okay. I always run the jokes by her first. And then, you know, go ahead and do them anyway. But still, I run them by her.
That's good. You're known as a clean comedian, you know, and you're from Canada. Why don't you always start there? I think folks can tell from your accent that you're from Canada. Talk about your upbringing.
My upbringing, I grew up – actually, you know what? I grew up in a farm just outside of Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, Canada. Then I moved to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, went to the University of Saskatchewan. I took anthropology. I took ethnology is my main subdiscipline. I got a degree in anthropology.
So were you involved in drama or music, or like how did you bridge the gap into getting in front of, you know, people and trying to tell stories and make them laugh?
My family was actually kind of musical. So they sang, everybody sang in my family. I have an older brother, older sister, and they'd sit around the piano sometimes and sing together, and I would make fun of them. That was my training ground.
I'm sure they appreciated that.
Yeah. I did take a drama class or two at the U of S when I was there. When you grow up in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, you don't think, okay, so what are some showbiz options for my career? You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't think in those terms. Yeah, you don't think in those terms at all. So that was never part of the plan. It just wasn't. I never planned it. I did start doing it because I was like, I want to try this. As I got older, I was like, I want to give this a go, and that's when I decided, yeah, I want to make this a living.
Yeah, a lot of stand-up comedians they start off with just open mics. Did you follow that path as well? How scary was that?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, it's funny because I did I told a buddy, my very first show, I told a buddy I was going to become a comedian. I was like, oh, I want to try this comedy thing. But then I just started writing material and practicing material, but I'd never gotten on stage. And his parents called me, and they're, our comedian canceled. Can you fill in? We hear you're a comedian. I was like, yes, I am. And so you don't go and do an hour at a time. That's just not recommended. And that's what I did. My first show ever, I did an hour. Actually, I did about 50 minutes. And
wow.
Then I just cut it short because it was.
How did it go? Did it go well, or was it a lot of crickets?
At the time, I thought, oh, that went really well. That was good. But it was terrible. Now, I know better. I know a lot better.
Do you remember some of your bits from that first set?
Yeah, my favorite bit. Then I took a tape. I actually recorded the next one, and I took the recording into the local Yuck Yucks agent. Yuck Yucks is a chain of comedy clubs, and they had a kind of an on-tour agent living in Saskatoon. And so I took him the tape, and I thought, you know, I just thought he'd just assign me to a tour from there. Like, I didn't know how it works, right?
Your HBO special came right after that?
Yeah, I thought he'd be like, okay, we'll get on the road, and then we'll get you some TV. The one joke he thought would work, and this is the one I remember from the very first show too, was my regurgitation bit. And it was I was just talking about those guys that regurgitate things. You know how they put things in their mouth and then they cough it back up.
Okay.
And they could put they put keychains together inside their stomach and just weird stuff like that.
Okay.
I was just fascinated by that, so I did this whole bit about, you know, how do you learn you have that gift, and then you have to practice it, and that can't always go well. And but no, it was just me pounding my chest and pretending to throw up for like 10 minutes. I mean, if there's a joke or two in there, it could work, but it was just, that's the thing. Anybody who becomes a comedian to begin with, their biggest problem is they don't have enough punchlines. They think something's a punchline, and they, in their mind, that's a punchline. And they get on stage, and then they say it, and you can tell they're waiting at that point.
Right.
And it doesn't get a laugh. It's like, yeah, no, that's not a punchline. That's a pause. You're still in setup. You need to do something here. So, yeah. But everybody learns that once you get on stage.
Yeah, because
crowds will tell you.
There's a real art to this whole thing, and I get a chance to speak occasionally, not as much as go on the road as what you're bringing to the stage comedy-wise. But, yeah, I mean, there is a real art to telling a story, the setup, and then delivering the funny part. Is that something that takes years or decades to master?
It, you know, all depends on the person. I've seen guys first two or three times on stage, and I'm like, oh wow, that's your first time on stage. You're really good at this already. You know, yeah. Some people, it just takes a really long time, but they work on it so hard that they get good. They get so good at it, even though they didn't have that skill. I mean, it's like anything. You work a muscle, that muscle gets strong.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on stage. I've learned how to craft it.
Right.
And that's all. That's the only difference.
Right. Who are you watching out there that you think is really good or really funny?
Oh, wow. You know, I don't watch a ton of stand-up because early on I didn't want to be influenced.
Right.
Even though I was influenced, I didn't want to be, you know, as I was forming my stage persona and stuff, I didn't really want to be affected by other comics. So I avoided a lot of stand-up. I don't know. I look at an eclectic mix. I can enjoy all kinds. Like, as you know, I work clean, but I can enjoy well-written stuff, even if it's dirty. I mean, I can not enjoy it, but I can appreciate It's wow, that was really well done. Like that was, that's a brilliant bit.
So you mentioned that you're clean. You know, where does that come from, and how hard is it to build a, you know, a comedic resume in this world that we're in, and do it on a clean platform? Talk about that.
Well, you know, let me start with the material, because people always ask me, oh, it must be hard to be clean, and you know, it's a lot harder to write clean, and I've just never really found that, because that's always what I've done. You know what I mean? So I've never really was like, oh wow, I have to work harder to make this joke. It's like, no, I the joke's the joke. I don't understand why it would be harder to be clean. That's really the truth of comedy is if you're being true to who you are on stage, then it should be relatively painless.
Right. Do people find you like, are you looked down upon? I'm not suggesting that this is the case, but do people that are clean, are they looked kind of like, they're not, maybe not in the big leagues like we are? Do you sense any of that?
Well, I'll tell you what, comedy has changed. When I first started out, like I said, I've been doing this for 20 some years. Everyone was like, you gotta be clean. Clean is how you get corporate work, and that's how you get on television. And so you gotta have clean. And I never had to, like, these guys would be doing their festival showcase sets, and they'd be like, oh, I gotta take this out and this out so it'll be clean enough. And I never had to worry about that, right? I was like, no, I'll just do my best seven. And it was much more, I feel like it used to be respected a lot more. And now it doesn't matter. TV doesn't matter, because most of the comedy stuff is on, you know, it's not network television. It's on other kinds of things. And there's all these other mediums. So that doesn't matter. And yeah, I have noticed, you know, I used to go to Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, for years and years, like 3 years, back in the day. And then I had like a 10-year break where I didn't do the festival, and I came back. And yeah, it was more of a negative thing that I was clean.
Wow.
I mean, in the intro to the show that went on television, Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, the mustache guy, he was the host. And in his intro to me, he was like, he made a big deal about, I'm sure it was the writer that gave him that material, but for that particular special. But he had said, you know, this guy works clean, and he made a big deal about it. He said, I don't know, whatever he said, the joke had the F word in it. It was his punchline for that, for the intro to me.
Wow.
But it was basically a big deal, and not in a good way. Like, wow, I revere what you do. It was more like, oh, brother.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm sensing that more and more. And maybe I'm just being oversensitive now or something.
Yeah.
Cause I don't run in a lot of the comedy club circles anymore. I still do comedy clubs, on occasion, but not as much as I used to, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff that we found funny 15 years ago, we would gasp if anybody said that in public now. You know what I mean? So is it harder to be in comedy nowadays?
I mean, it's a type of comedy that people are doing too, you know, like, I think it can be harder for some comics if their material is focused on, you know, on certain things, but because it's me talking about me and then telling stories about me.
Right.
I'm a huge narcissist. So I'm free. I'm free of those other constraints.
That's interesting. Well, talk about purpose. Like, you know, I think there's a bit of a faith element to what you're doing. You did a movie with Kirk Cameron called Extraordinary, talking about a faith journey in marriage. How does all of this come into play with your purpose and your career as a comedian?
I mean, faith has always been, you know, the most important element of who I am, is my faith. And so, you know, it's supposed to come out in my art. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's what it should look like. So I've never really separated. I mean, I've separated it in so much as I'm not trying to cram any of my beliefs down someone's throat. If I'm at a comedy club, you know, I'm just, they just know me as the clean comic.
Right.
And I try not to label myself as a clean comic either. That they do that. But you know, when I do start working, I will work churches and things like that, then I actually have a lot more freedom. People always find, other comics think that's crazy when they hear me say this, but I just have a lot more freedom in a church because I can speak from the heart about anything then, whereas I have to hold back in a comedy club. Yeah, they think that's just insane because, you know, obviously they would have to censor themselves a bit in a church as opposed to, for me, it's the opposite.
Well, like John Chris, I mean, he makes fun at kind of a lot of the Christian nuances. I don't think that you're going there, but you just mean freedom because you don't have to hold back more or less your faith or just really what drives you in your art.
Yeah, and those are one and the same. Hmm. My faith and what drives me in the art. God is creative, so he gives us creativity, and so anything I'm doing, I have that in mind. I don't make fun of the Christian church. That's I think that's a result of me starting in clubs, because that's a whole subculture that they don't know anything about. So it's like I'm not going to talk about that.
They wouldn't even get it.
They wouldn't get it. So right. And I've always tried to be that way, like an outreach comic of sorts. And those are these Christianese words now, but a comic that some Joe Bloke off the street could come watch and enjoy and get everything that he's talking about.
Yeah. What do people ask you after shows? Like if you're in a non-church setting, you know what I mean? Like what's the conversations like after you do a show in a club?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at a club, it doesn't really get that deep.
Yeah.
some notice, and they'll make mention of that. It's so funny because they're so used to a certain thing. Sometimes they don't even notice that I've been clean the whole night. They just had a great time, and they don't even at least they don't say anything. But other times, it's funny they do notice. But I've had some crazy. One guy is like, man. You only said the F word like three times. No, I didn't say it at all. No, like it was hardly any. No, it was nothing. I didn't say it at all. Oh, wow. Well, anyway, you're clean. Yeah. Okay.
That was the guy before me, and the fact that three F-bombs is clean is still another, that's another issue.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of someone else. And yeah, no, a lot of times they're too drunk to really recognize what you did, but they enjoy it and they're appreciative. And you know, I think one of the things I think that is noticed, the wait staff, the owners of a club, they pick up on that, I think, a lot more than the audience does because they've seen so much comedy and they've, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are like, oh, wow, yeah, you were clean, like all week. You were clean. Yes, sir.
Do you feel that, like, you know, I, again, your faith, you said, is what drives you in your art? I mean, kind of a, like, I don't know, like hyper-spiritual question. You know, you think that you were created to do this? Is this your calling, or is this just an expression of your faith? How would you piece all that together, you know, in being a stand-up comedian?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, if we're jumping into that, I really feel like whatever it is that we do or that we're good at is a calling because we're supposed to do it with excellence and in that way honor God and honor Christ through working as if we're working for Him. So for me, yeah, yes, it's a calling, but at the same time, you know, I'm a father and a husband, and that's also my calling. And whatever it is I'm doing. When I was a courier delivering packages, that was my calling too. I was terrible at that calling, but it was where I was supposed to, you know, if that's where I am and that's what I'm doing, then that's how I look at it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I feel.
Yeah. Do you get a little kickback to say, you know, hey, you know, if you really want to live out your faith, you know, doing it in clubs, you know, on Friday nights probably isn't the place. Have you felt any of that kickback or maybe, you know, social pressure to do something more, quote, in the ministry? You know, have you ever experienced any of that?
No, never. Yeah, never.
Yeah.
See, people don't know what to do with comedy, whether it's Christians or non-Christians. They don't know what to do with it. you know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Growing up where I grew up, it's like, is this even a real job?
Oh, I see.
So my parents were like, what are you doing? This isn't even real. You got to get some other stuff going. So that was the feedback I used to get on that. And then, you know, from a Christian perspective, you know, when I start talking to a church, well, let's do a show there. And it's like, well, we can do that in a church. It's like, why not?
Right.
It's, we do other things, you know, artistically and at church, and why will we not be able to do that too? So, I feel like, not to sound, I don't know, I don't want this to sound like I think I'm something I'm not, but I had to break a lot of ground in Canada as a Christian and a comedian, just on both sides. I feel like I had to break a lot of ground. I'm a pioneer, I tell you.
6'3" pioneer from Saskatchewan.
That's who looks like a 6'11" pioneer.
You did a bit. I was watching a video preparing for this the other night, and you did the bit about how you told the lady after the show that maybe comedy's not right for you. By the way, I was howling at that. You know which one I'm talking about? You're saying about being a role model for children.
It's a bad example for kids. They're laughing at themselves. It's like, what? No, that wasn't actually an email. I mean, obviously I changed real stories and turned them into other things, but that was an email I got from a lady.
Somebody said that you're being a bad example because you're making fun of yourself on stage?
Making fun of yourself is a bad example for kids about making fun of themselves. Like, it's a poor example. She was just mad about a bunch of stuff. So she, you know, that was just, when you get to that level, you're just like, okay, well, you don't, clearly this isn't for your thing.
then your punchline was, well, maybe comedy's not right for you. And to me, out of all the stuff I watched here, that was the funniest. I appreciated that. But before I let you go, I always try to ask interviewees, how can we have more impact on people? You know, just in your experience doing comedy for almost 20 years, what would you say, maybe a simple thing that myself or even our listeners could do just to, I don't know, be a light or have more impact on the people around us?
You know, I guess where I've found having more impact on people is just when I start to share my heart with people and just start to be real with people. So I know as a comedian, you're like, what? That's the opposite of what you do. Mm-hmm. But the moment I start to give them the real me, I think that's where you have a lot more impact. And that just, with so much of the time, I think we go around this world and we close ourselves off to each other. But the moment you start opening up a little bit to people, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing what comes of that. And then in my case, as a Christian, you know, just sharing what God's done for me and why he's the number one thing in my life. It's when people know your heart, it just has a greater impact when you're sharing your heart with people.
Yeah, exactly. And you have a chance to do that through your art. And I think people get to see a deeper side of you. And then I think taking it to the next level, like you're talking about, and sharing that on a deeper level, I think that is what connects the dots. So I commend you on what you're doing. I think your comedy's great. Again, before I let you go, where can people find more about you and maybe where they can check out a show of yours?
Well, I'm on all the social medias. LelandClausen.com is the website. That's one E in Leland. LelandClausen.com. And yeah, just check it out. Go. I've got something I got a few Facebook videos that are, nobody says going viral anymore. And I think a million is not even viral anymore anyway.
We have like we have 8 year olds putting out cell phone videos that get a million hits. You got to be in the billions nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Nothing's viral. but yeah, I got a bunch of stuff out there. So if you want to check it out, go for it.
Yeah, well, I encourage people to do so. Leland, thank you so much. God bless you on what you're doing, and keep up the great work.
Hey, thanks so much, Jared.
You bet. I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Leland Clausen. I've been wanting to get a stand-up comedian on the show for quite some time now, so a huge thank you to Leland. I really appreciate his take on life and purpose. He has a fundamental understanding of who he is and why he is here. He is a Christian, and that drives everything. The fact that he's a stand-up comedian, really, if you listen to his interview, is just secondary, and I think that's a takeaway that we can have in our lives. Regardless of our jobs, we understand that we are first a Christian, and that drives the purpose in our life. If you want to follow Leland online, watch some of his comedy again. Look him up on Facebook. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurposed. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com. Click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. And as always, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, these podcasts are only available because of generous support of people just like you. If you'd like to make a gift and support Faith Radio, go to the website, myfaithradio.com. Also, another way you can help is by sharing these podcasts on social media and subscribing. Just click subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast player, and you'll be sure to never miss a show.